Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your host, Henry Hussey, with another issue of Critical Issues. We pray and hope that everyone has had a blessed Ramadan and ready for a great experience for the rest of this year here. We have decided to take the book along with some CDs here of Outwitting the Devil. Many of you out there have heard us mention this. This book was first mentioned, brought to my attention by Imam Kazim Ahmed. And he brought it in this book, and we got a copy of it and read it, and it was so interesting. And I think it's a topic that we will enjoy listening to and hearing and learning from it. I think there's so much we can learn from that. So we're going to take, probably it may take a few months, 3 or even 4 months, to really get to this subject and really understand what's happening and see how this may be impacting your life and the life of family and the life of the community in which you're in, and how weaken as Napoleon Hill, say, outwit the devil. I've asked our brother Mark Shaheen to assist me in this subject because he had also studied this book and all in the tapes and all of outwitting the devil. And what we plan to do and what I like to do is maybe give the little introduction, maybe play 5 minutes or so of the CD, and then we discuss it, and then play maybe another 5 minutes until we kind of get through it. It's going to be so many interesting facts here that 5 minutes may take the rest of the program to discuss as we get into it. So assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark. Are you with us?
Yes. Alaykum as-salam to you, Brother Henry Haseeb, and to the very distinguished radio listeners, AM 360 Radio. Yes, I am here and ready to go on this outstanding publication by Napoleon Hill, Outwitting the Devil. And as you just have articulated, it's an outstanding publication. It was published back in 1938. The information, the content, was so eye-opening at that particular time. They didn't allow it to be published. So, I think for almost 70-something years, if I'm not mistaken, everybody at that time had actually passed away. But I think you're on the right course in terms of giving it increments. Because the information is vital to our growth and development as human beings.
Yes, and it was about 70 years from the interview of the time that the book manuscript was first written till about 70 years, 2011, and I believe it was 1938. Just to give a little background, and as we get
into it,
then you will understand why it wasn't written in 1938, which you would have said it would have been a powerful time to do it. But as we get into it, I believe you will understand as to why it took so long there. And matter of fact, the book did not get published until after Napoleon himself passed, and then his wife passed, and then her niece or whatever after that passed, and I think maybe her husband or another one of the siblings allowed it in 2011 to pass, which is about 70 years that this valuable information stayed locked up. And one thing I say before we get started, our brother Imam Kazim Ahmed had taken this book and he had went and did the Islamic and Quranic research, and he could relate the different things that Napoleon talked about and that the devil talked about. He had went in the Quran and did the research in the Quran and broke it out. So, inshallah, maybe someone out in our audience may know of this also, but that was a valuable piece. And as we go along, we'd like to ask our audience there that, you know, on this topic here, that if you know and you know some Quranic verses that it relates to, then be sure to bring that into the conversation. Because, Mark, I think this is a very important thing in the life of the human being today, and we'll see how real or how truthful it really is and how it is being put over today. So I want to, Mark, start off with just his little introduction, and this is starts on the tape two, track four there of take two, just to give just a little brief introduction. It won't go into all of the things of how he got started, But that can be done maybe as people begin to be interested in it and do their own research. So we're going to play about 5 minutes of this, and then we'll come back to discuss it. So just hold on, hold in there. We'll be right back. So here we go. Let's see. Look like my tape went off. I must have hit the wrong button. Anyway, we'll get it back here in just a minute. Yep. So long it goes off. We will get it back in just a moment here. And this just is a brief introduction of the different speakers that's playing the different parts of that. So. Okay, here we go.
Let us now briefly analyze the strange interview you are about to begin. Some who listen will want to ask after they finish it, did you really interview the devil, or did you merely interview an imaginary devil? Some may wish the answer to this question before they begin the interview. I will answer in the only truthful way I could answer, by saying that the devil I interviewed may have been just as he claimed to be, or he may have been the creation of my own imagination. Whichever he was, whether real or imaginary, is of little importance compared with the nature of the information conveyed through the interview. The important question is this. Does the interview convey dependable information which may be helpful to people who are trying to find their places in the world? If it conveys that sort of information, no matter whether it is conveyed in the form of fact or fiction, then it is worthy of serious analysis through careful reading. I'm not concerned in the least as to the real source of the information or as to the real nature of the devil whose astounding story you are about to hear. I am concerned only with the fact that the devil's confession squares perfectly with what I have seen of life. I believe the interview does convey information of practical benefit to all who have not found life to be friendly, and the reason I believe so is the fact that I have made the central theme of this book yield to me all the happiness I need in the form best suited to my nature. I have had experience with enough of the principles mentioned by the devil to assure me that they will do exactly what he says they will. That is enough for me. So I pass the story of the interview on to you for whatever you may be able to make it pay in useful dividends. Perhaps you will get the greatest values if you accept the devil as being what he claims himself to be, relying upon his message for whatever it may bring you that you can use, and not worrying as to who the devil is or whether he exists. If you want my honest personal opinion, I believe the devil is exactly who he claims to be. Now, let us analyze his strange confession. After forcing his way into the consciousness of the devil, Mr. Earthbound began the unwilling interview with questions which could not be evaded.
Hill, Mr. Earthbound, interrogates the devil in an almost courtroom atmosphere. Somehow, the devil is obligated to give complete and accurate answers. How was this done? Perhaps Hill forced the devil's confession by forming a mastermind, possibly with his wife. The harmonious coordination of two or more minds working to a definite end, to exert the power of God, the great storehouse of infinite intelligence wherein is stored all that is, all that ever was, and all that can ever be. Perhaps Hill won the right to accurate responses by being a thinker in control of his own mind, who mastered all his fears. Thanks to this mastery and control, Hill could demand true and accurate responses from the devil. In any event, Hill forces the devil to expose his tricks and wiles so that we may counter them and avoid the pitfalls in our lives.
Here begins the interview with the devil. I have uncovered the secret code by which I can pick up your thoughts. I have come to ask you some very plain questions. I demand that you give me direct and truthful answers. Are you ready for the interview, Mr. Devil?
Yes, I am. But you must address me with more respect. During this interview, you will address me as Your Majesty.
By what right do you demand such royal respect?
You should know I control 98% of the people of your world. Do you not think that entitles me to rate as royalty?
I had an extremely adverse reaction to hearing the devil referred to as Your Majesty when I first read this interview. Then I realized that Hill probably intended to create just that reaction.
Have you proof of your claim?
Yes. Plenty of it. Of what does your proof consist? Of many things. If you want answers, you will address me as Your Majesty. Some things you will understand, some you will not. In order that you may get my viewpoint, I shall describe myself and correct the false notions people have of me and my place of abode.
That is a fine idea, Your Majesty. Start by telling me where you live, then describe your physical appearance.
My physical appearance? Why, my dear Mr. Earthbound, I have no physical body. I would be handicapped by such an encumbrance as those in which you earthbound creatures live. I consist of negative energy, and I live in the minds of people who fear me. I also occupy one half of every atom of physical matter and every unit of mental and physical energy. Perhaps you will better understand my nature if I tell you I am the negative portion of the atom.
Oh, I see what you are preparing to claim. You were laying the foundation to say that if it were not for you, there would be no world, no stars, no electrons, no atoms, no human beings, nothing. Is that correct?
True. Absolutely true.
Well, if you only occupy one half of energy and matter, who occupies the other half?
The other half is occupied by my opposition.
Opposition? What do you mean?
The opposition is what you earthbound call God.
So you have the universe divided up with God. Is that your claim?
Not my claim, but the actual fact. Before this interview is finished, you will understand why my claim is true. You will also understand why it has to be true, for there could be no world such as yours, no earthbound creatures such as you. I am no beast with a forked tongue and a spiked tail.
But you do control the minds of 98 out of every 100 people. You said so yourself. Who causes all the misery in this 98% devil-controlled world if you do not?
I have not said that I do not cause all the misery of the world. On the other hand, I boast of it. It is my business to represent the negative side of everything, including the thoughts of you earthbound people. How else could I control people?
All right. I think he said a mouthful already, and we hadn't really got into the interview yet, Mark. There. Do you have any comments you'd like to make at this time?
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, it started out, you know, in terms of really bringing a disclaimer in terms of whether this was a real interview of the devil or not an interview of the devil. And, of course, Napoleon Hill just dismissed that what you think is fact or fiction and put a lot of emphasis on the content, the information. I'm convinced, you know, having years ago not read the book but listened to the entirety of the book, that Napoleon Hill actually had a copy of the Quran as we continue with the information. I think it's noteworthy how the devil actually defines himself. You know, is not having a body, but he defines himself as negative energy, negative energy. And he also not makes the claim, but he uses the word boast. He boasts that he controls 98% of the people, you know, 98% of the people's mind and the way that they think. And, of course, we know that thinking leads to the behavior, you know, that we see and have seen, and predominantly what we are seeing now, and it is also, I think, a very, very important. That's what's going to be said in terms of how he gets the control of people's mind, and he's referring to, he said, what you earthbound people call God as his opposition. So when we look at that in terms of from an Islamic base, in terms of Iblis devolving, and his refusal to submit to what God's, Allah's will and plan was for his human being, and also, you know, from an Islamic base, not thinking in terms of that the human being is worthy of the station of Khalifa that Allah was creating, and refusing to submit, and as Imam Muhammad say, want to alter the perception of God and also deny those freedoms that Almighty God has given to the human being, the freedom to think, and also the limited free will to choose or make decisions. I think that this is very important, and as you continue to play this, we're going to see how he seeks to get control of the mind and what it is he really detests in terms of the thinker. Also, it was mentioned mastermind. So the mastermind is one that is a free thinker and also have freed themselves of the fear, of fears. You know, as we say, only fearing Allah, but we want to say be God conscious and be conscious regardful of God. And in the language of Imam Muhammad, God consciousness, taqwa, I like to say, conscious regardful of God's word, which embodies his will and his way. And so those persons that stay in that frame of mind, Shaitan cannot and will not be able to touch them because their pure desire is to please God. And also the mind, the intellect works, you know, for that desire that the human being have in their heart in that regard. So Shaitan, no, that's off limits. But he goes after those people that are not thinkers, and most certainly they are not God conscious in that regard. And we've heard that before, you know, Brother Henry, that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. By listening to this book, we're going to really see that the idle mind is the devil's workshop, and he can really go to work.
Yes, Mark, are you there? Looks like we may have lost Mark for a minute, but what I got out of just the opening there is the devil has mentioned about this false idea that people have of the devil, and he tries to bring that. Remember, he's being forced to tell the truth. And he said he don't have a physical body. And, you know, probably most of us can see, even in our mind today, of the picture that they have given to us of the one that's called the devil. And he said he's no beast. You know, we saw him with horns on his head, and all of this stuff is what they presented to us as a devil. But he says he is the negative force. Now it's beginning to make a little sense that's in every human being there. And we know we have studied this, as Mark was saying about the jinn. I want to bring one of our callers in here that I see you here at area code 727-408. And tell us what you got out of just a little introduction, that first 5 minutes.
Assalamu alaikum
and welcome to the program.
This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Praise be to Allah. You know, when you were saying about you were saying what you're gonna deal with and do, concerning the book, right? And I'm in the Quran. Now, I've done this before. I've done this. I'm in the Quran right now. I'm on Surah 33, and I'm in the Quran, and I'm doing what Allah tell Prophet Muhammad to say. So, and then after that, I've done this before also. Or you will believe. So you see that things are being addressed. Prophet Muhammad addressing the disbelievers, the unbelievers, those who reject us of faith. And then also when he say, oh, you believe, Allah has given us instruction about how we should act and how we should perform. So I'm saying this because the fact that you'll find out as things go along inside the program, you're going to find out that everything has already been answered, and Allah has been giving us instruction in the Quran just how to deal with it, just in case there's a something deviant that comes on in there. People better see and say something concerning this, so they can look out for something like that to occur. So praise be to Allah,
right.
And like, So you know, alhamdulillah. That's the exercise. Because you know what, I plan to do, inshallah. I have made my mind set on to do. But I'm gonna try to do is what's going on today in this day and time. I'm gonna see can I go in on and make some you know, relate to it, put that out there in the environment. You know, put that in the environment so we can have that picture for the day and time. For this day and time, we can have that picture and say, oh yeah, that's right there.
Okay.
Russia doing this and Israel doing that, so we can identify that, and that'll be alhamdulillah.
Exactly.
So praise be to Allah.
One thing we all have to realize as we go on through this is that Allah has blessed us with the Quran through our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that we know we got the answers to all of the questions that's being answered. And that's why I started by saying Imam Kazim Ahmed, God, peace be upon him and grant, forgive him his sin and grant him the paradise. But that he had did a lot of this research with the Quran
to show
these things that already been answered there. So I think that would be a great task for you to do that and do share it with us as you develop it. We're going to play a little bit more of that so we can get it, because we hadn't even touched the surface yet. We just beginning. So stay tuned and listen.
I'd like to say something. When I'm in the Quran and I open it, I can't help but think about Qasim Ahmed.
Alhamdulillah.
He lives and he reads this book, so praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Keep listening, and we're going to get into it. I think it's going to get very, very interesting. And when we do this, as we get into it, as Muhammad the Prophet said, I pray that those who hear and understand take it to those who are not here to give them some hearing. And as the Prophet said, maybe they may understand even better than those who are here. So we're going to continue a little bit more, pay another 5 minutes of this, and then we'll be back.
And Brother Mark, did an excellent intro to it, too. So praise be to Allah. That's an honor.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, we're going to go a little bit further here. Mark, we lost you there for a minute there. So, looks like I had you in the queue with us. Okay.
Yes, now can you hear me? You muted me. Can you hear me?
I think I hit the wrong one.
The wrong button. Yes, sir. I'm back.
All right. Well, good you're back there. You just went out on it there on us. But anyway, we're going to play another 5 minutes to kind of get us into this, because it's got interesting already. There's so much that you can take just from the first 5 minutes.
Yes, sir. Controls possible. I control negative thought. How do you gain control of the minds of people? Oh, that is easy. I merely move in and occupy the unused space of the human brain. I sow the seeds of negative thought in the minds of people so I can occupy and control the space. You must have many tricks and devices by which you gain and hold control of the human mind. To be sure, I employ tricks and devices to control human thought. My devices are clever ones, too. Go ahead and describe your clever tricks, Your Majesty. One of my cleverest devices for mind control is fear. I plant the seed of fear in the minds of people, and as these seeds germinate and grow, through use, I control the space they occupy. The six most effective fears are the fear of poverty, criticism, ill health, loss of love, old age, and death. Which of these six fears serves you most often, Your Majesty? The first and the last, poverty and death. At one time or another during life, I tighten my grip on all people through one or both of these. I plant these fears in the minds of people so deftly that they believe them to be their own creation. I accomplish this end by making people believe I am standing just beyond the entrance gate of the next life, waiting to claim them after death for eternal punishment. Of course, I cannot punish anyone, except in that person's own mind, through some form of fear. But fear of the thing which does not exist is just as useful to me as fear of that which does exist. All forms of fear extend the space I occupy in the human mind.
Your Majesty, will you explain how you gained this control over human beings?
The story is too long to be told in a few words. It began over a million years ago when the first man began to think. Up to that time, I had control over all mankind, but enemies of mine discovered the power of positive thought, placed it in the minds of men, and then began a battle on my part to remain in control. So far, I have done quite well by myself, having lost only 2% of the people to the opposition.
I take it from your answer that men who think are your enemies. Is that right?
It is not right, but it is correct.
Tell me something more about the world in which you live.
I live wherever I choose. Time and space do not exist for me. I am a force best described to you as energy. My favorite physical dwelling place, as I have told you, is in the minds of the earthbound. I control a part of the brain space of every human being. The amount of space I occupy in each individual's mind depends upon how little and what sort of thinking that person does. As I have told you, I cannot entirely control any person who thinks.
You speak of your opposition. Just what do you mean by that?
My opponent controls all the positive forces of the world, such as love, faith, hope, and optimism. My opponent also controls the positive factors of all natural law throughout the universe, the forces which keep the Earth and the planets and all the stars balanced in their courses. But these forces are meek in comparison with those which operate in the human mind under my control. You see, I do not seek to control stars and planets. I prefer the control of human minds.
Where did you acquire your power, and by what means do you add to it?
I add to my power by appropriating the mind power of the earthbound as they come through the gate at the time of death. 98 out of every 100 who come back to my plane from the earth plane are taken over by me, and their mind power is added to my being. I get all who come over with any form of fear. You see, I am constantly at work, preparing the minds of people before death so I can appropriate them when they come back to my plane.
Will you tell me how you go about your job of preparing human minds so you can control them?
I have countless ways of gaining control of human minds while they are still on the earth plane. My greatest weapon is poverty. I deliberately discourage people from accumulating material wealth because poverty discourages men from thinking and makes them easy prey for me. My next best friend is ill health. An unhealthy body discourages thinking. Then I have countless thousands of workers on Earth who aid me in gaining control of human minds. I have these agents placed in every calling. They represent every race and creed, every religion.
Who are your greatest enemies on Earth, Your Majesty?
All who inspire people to think and act on their own initiative are my enemies. Such men as Socrates, Confucius, Voltaire, Emerson, Thomas Paine, and Abraham Lincoln. And you are not doing me any good either.
Is it true that you use men who have great wealth?
As I have already told you, poverty is always my friend because it discourages independence of thought and encourages fear in the minds of men. Some wealthy men serve my cause, while others do me great damage, depending on how the wealth is used. The great Rockefeller fortune, for example, is one of my worst enemies.
That is interesting, Your Majesty. Will you tell me why you fear the Rockefeller fortune more than others?
The Rockefeller money is being used to isolate and conquer diseases of the physical body in all parts of the world. Disease has always been one of my most effective weapons. The fear of ill health is second only to the fear of poverty. The Rockefeller money is uncovering new secrets of nature in 100 different directions, all of which are designed to help men take and keep possession of their own minds. It is encouraging new and better methods of feeding, clothing, and housing people. It is wiping out the slums in the large cities, the places where my favorite allies are found. It is financing campaigns for better government and helping to wipe out dishonesty in politics. It is helping to set higher standards in business practice and encouraging businessmen to conduct business by the golden rule. And that is not doing my cause any good.
But what about these boys and girls who are said to be on the road to hell? Are you in control of them?
Well, I can answer that question only with yes and no. I have corrupted the minds of the young by teaching them to drink and smoke, but they have me baffled through their tendency to think for themselves. You say you have corrupted the minds of the young people with liquor and cigarettes. I can understand how liquor might destroy the power of independent thought.
Let's stop right there, because we've covered so much that we don't need to overlook here in this discussion there, Mark. Before we get into the liquor and the tobacco and all, because that's another interesting piece. You know, the devil said that he conquer, he like to occupy the negative space in the human mind. So, and if he can fill up this space, if he can occupy more of this space with the negative there, then he can control the human being.
Yes.
What did you get out of
yes.
that?
Yeah, you so know, that this is eye-opening, you know, Brother Henry, to the regular listening audience. Once again, the absence of thinking and accurately thinking and also thinking, as we say, to go to the Quran, Dhikr Allahu Akbar, just to give a little insight from Imam Muhammad. He said, Dhikr Allahu Akbar means thinking and remembering God is the greater or the greatest. And then Imam Muhammad asked the question, he said, thinking and remembering God or being God conscious or conscious regard for God's word, will, and way, he said, is the best for what? Is the greatest for what? And Imam Muhammad answered his question by saying, it is the greatest or greater for getting the best results in our life. So the shaitan or the devil here, he represents the negative energy or the negative side of things. And Napoleon Hill said in this segment that you just played that he seeks to plant the seed of fear. Now, the seed is the idea, so that know that the language that I'll be interpreting, the language that Napoleon Hill is giving, the seed, what's embodied in the seed. The seed, you know, if we see a regular seed, everything is in the seed that you don't see. So the seed of fear is what it is that he used, and he named those six things in terms of that. And then so Napoleon Hill, in the interview, he's asking you, the devil, which is your greatest seed of fear? And he said the greatest, he named two. He said the fear of poverty and the fear of death. Now, all we have to do is begin to start the thinking in terms of how poverty affects us mentally, but also emotionally. He said that if he can plant the seed of poverty in your mind, and so we go back to the Quran again, Allah says that he plants the seed of poverty in your mind in terms of thinking that you will be impoverished, but Allah says that he gives in abundance, and he is Ar-Razzaq, meaning that he is the provider. He's the provider for those who believe, and he's the provider for those who's thinking on him and who's acknowledging him as their Lord and Creator. Those persons that are not thinking in that regard, they become vulnerable. I'm going to say that again. Those persons that's not dwelling on God's word, the word of the Quran, the final revelation of the Quran, those are most vulnerable, and they make fertile soil. So fertile soil for planting the seed that Shaitan wants to plant, which is the seed of fear of poverty, and also in terms of death. Now, he didn't get into that right now, but he's dwelling on poverty. And also the acronym that is often used, and you've heard it before, FEAR, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. So Shaitan gives false evidence that appear to be real. And we know that what Allah gives in his word in the Quran is called Al-Haq, the truth, the reality. Now look at fear, false evidence appearing real. It's not true evidence, but it appears to be real. But if you have in your mind and the seed has grown in you that this is real, it will prevent you from having control over your mind, and that opens the door or provides the fertile soil for Shaitan to plant that seed of poverty. People in poverty, it deprives them of even using their imagination. That's why you can see from generation to generation, a generation of poverty, because the fear has been planted, false evidence appearing real, not thinking that Allah has equipped and given us the provisions to be successful in this life like he's given all other people. And we can see this really in our ethnic group, so we can see that this is true, but to know that this is a scheme, this is a plan that Shaitan actually have. And then he goes on to talk about he has no mercy even on the children. When he begins to start talking about the cigarettes and alcohol, we know that Allah has addressed that in the Quran. Mm-hmm. This becomes the handiwork of the Shaitan to control the thinking. And, you know, it's really interesting, Brother Henry, that back in 1938, when this interview actually took place and all, that revealing the detriment of tobacco, how it is inhibited to the human brain.
I want you to hold that thought, since we're just a little bit ahead of that. It's back going to come, but we're going to definitely discuss it. I'm going to take a PSA for the calls here, and then we'll be right back. And I got a call in queue, and then we'll continue there. Hopefully we get another 5 minutes out before the program is over with today. It's just so much in this, dear audience, that you got to get, so you got to – we got to break it down. I think 5 minutes at a time almost seems to be too much. But it's a lot in here for us to get. So we're going to just take our time with this. And inshallah, when it's finished, then you'll be able to say a job well done. We'll be right back.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sugar Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
For more than 30 years, Amana Mutual Funds have provided halal investment vehicles serving the unique needs of the Muslim community. Discover how you can align your investments with your principles in a retirement, health, or education savings account, or invest for Hajj. To obtain this and other important information in a prospectus or summary prospectus, please visit www.amanafunds.com or call toll-free 1-800-732-6262. Please read the prospectus and consider an investment's objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. The Amana Funds limit the securities they purchase to those consistent with Islamic principles. This limits opportunities and may affect performance.
Okay, we are back, and we have been discussing this subject, outwitting the devil there. So those of you who have joined us and a little bit later there, we're going to be working with this subject here for a while here till we can kind of get a good understanding of it. And I've asked our brother Mark Shaheed to come in and help me with it because he had read the book and listened to the tapes and studied this also. Right now we're going to go to our caller that we got in the queue, and we'll continue along this subject. And next week we will be further continuing it. And you'll see as we go, it's going to get more and more in-depth. As to understanding this thing we call a devil. All right, we have area code 727-408. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Valer from New Orleans, Louisiana. Allah tells us in the Quran, just saying verbatim, just saying, you know, a little bit about it, say that Allah, he says Shaitan threatened us with poverty and built and putting us the thing to have a conduct to be other than the way it's supposed to be. So here we have racism that stifling, you know, that have us so that we feel like that we're not up to the point of dealing with our potential that God put in us. So the next thing we know, we off into a criminal activity to get some of the materialist things that we want out of life. So just so the concept of one nation, or one group of people being better than another person, mm-hmm. that builds in other people and other people a conduct that they don't reach out for that natural urge in them to deal with their potential as a human being. So that causes depression, it causes anxiety, and lead them to criminal activity also. So I like to just add that to the.
That's a great part there. And I like to say before we go to our next caller here that, you know, the devil that talks about ill health, you know, he mentioned ill health, Mark, in there too. And I hear people, good people, and they got this thing out here today. The modern thing with it is I'm not going to claim it. You know, I don't know how they do it, but I don't claim it, and I say the devil is a liar when they get health. And a lot of times they won't seek the proper solution to their problem because they think they can just say the devil is a liar, or I don't claim it, and it goes away some kind of way. And you be wanting to tell them, but you know, and you try to tell them, but and I think that's another tool that the devil gets so they won't treat it, because the sicker they get, then, of course, the more control the devil going to have over them. Well, we're going to bring in our next caller here.
Go ahead
if you had a comment, Mark.
Yeah, I think it works two ways there, you know, because, you know, he had previously said that the two fears that he used is the fear of poverty, but also the fear of death. So to have an illness and to fear that you are going to die, obviously you're not going to be thinking positively. The one thing that I like to emphasize, it's about this here, when you allow fear, and he's going to get to the difference, you know, in terms of fear and faith, in Napoleon Hill's book. This is where we have to have faith in the one that has created us, because fear breeds doubt. And what Brother Bilal said, he went to the Quran in regards to that, and this just the book supports what Allah says in the Quran, because all what Allah says in the Quran is true, that's the tool that the devil uses. And so it has a dual effect, whereas that those persons that have ill health, they oftentimes will be thinking in terms of the fear of dying. So they are not thinking positively. That fear of having ill health, or say somebody have cancer, and we see examples of that, whereas there are people that actually have certain types of, have been diagnosed with certain types of disease, but they say that it doesn't have them. It doesn't mean all the time that they refuse to have treatment, or whether it is naturopathic, homeopathic, or just a doctor or whatever in that regard, but they live longer because of the state of their mind. The same person, another person can have the same illness, and because of the state of their mind, they don't live very long because of the fear. And so that's what I think that Napoleon Hill is bringing to the attention, because he said, next to the fear of poverty is ill health. And then he can manipulate the people's mind that have those illness and have doubt that they're going to not make it, they're going to die.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, we'll bring in our caller here. Area code 727-7741. Welcome to the program. State your name, where you're calling from.
My name is Martha Nyla Abdullah, calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, the Sunshine City, Sunshine State. And that's the state of my mind, lit up. Praise be to Almighty God. Greetings up to you, Henry, and to you, Mark, and to all of our listeners. I'm greatly privileged. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Praise be to Almighty God first. And thanking Henry, thanking you all for bringing forth this about, you know, when they think of the shaitan, and actually this brings us back to discussing the jinn and understanding that intelligence that becomes the avenue by which Satan can whisper into our mind. I see it that way from my thinking. And then I'm smiling. I'm saying to myself, okay, we're coming all the way back around to the Imam Orti Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, Grand Mahal Station of Paradise, the process of removing the image from divine. We haven't heard that yet, but having that partner, because I heard the narrative say, that he has certain powers and da da da, and I'm going, no. Then if that enters my mind, even to think on it, then I'm putting a partner with Almighty God. So I'll stop right there. Thank you.
And one thing I wanted to add to that, Mark, is that it's the fear of that if he can make you think it, because he says he actually has no power over you. He says that right there in that thing there. But if he can make you think he do, of course, the Quran say we give power to him, and that's what he wants us to do.
Henry, I think what Sister Martha said is eye-opening, because even in this, these short little increments that you've given, the devil has already lied, you know, because in the first increment, he's saying that he occupies half of that. Of course, he is negative energy, of course, but in terms of being along with Allah as the creator, we know that's not true. So that's not true. Yeah. And then he says, I don't have any interest in the controlling of the celestial bodies and everything, the ecology and all. That's my opposition's concern. He's only concerned in terms of the control of the human being and the mind, the thinking of the human being in that way. And his greatest tool is that of fear. So Sister Martha Abdullah is right on point. You see, so we have to disregard that. But as you were saying, Brother Henry, if he can make you think that he has this type of power, actually, the last surah of the Quran actually really gives on that in terms of that we seek refuge with Allah from the whisper of the evil one who whispers and then withdraws. So, his influence is that of a whisper. pretty much. We could say more, but
exactly.
We'll stop there for right now.
And if, and Mark, I did. We got one more call we're going to try to squeeze in before, but if you listen carefully, because, you know, that's one of his thing on the Day of Judgment, is he going to say, you gave me no power over them.
That's right.
Just had the power just to call, and we answered the call. But if you listen to how he tried to put that over on us, he let us know that his enemy is not God, it's the human being. But he have us saying the opposition to do the control over the other thing, because we know Allah is the creator of both the positive and the negative, and he actually have no control over neither one, but he feeds that to us so we won't get to the state that Allah want us to be, that thinking human being there. But as we get into it, we're going to see that. But that was one of the things, and you're right, that is a lie. If you listen to him, he's careful to make it not a lie, but do you come out of there, he sounds like he's lying, but he ain't saying God, he's really saying us. So you really have to be careful to how you listen to him, because he's slick and
listen
fly.
To what he's,
he
yeah, right, absolutely.
He withdraw after that. Well, let me get to the next caller here, and then we know we won't have no more part of the tape today, but we're going to continue next week. So hold on just a moment. All right, I call it area code 706-627. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And Allah is always
alaikum
assalam. Yes, it's good to hear all of y'all after this great month of Ramadan, which is Allah being his mercy. Every year, he put us in a state where we are out of this dunya. And we in a reality where Shaitan cannot touch us. And if we continue to build this Ramadan spirit and establish this halal world where we invite all to what is good and forbid the whisper of the Shaitan to enter and those who carry that thought, we will then be able to have mental health. We will be able to begin to start to heal all the problems that we have. And right now, every Muslim on this planet has learned and has experienced Ramadan. And there's many people who are not Muslim, has fasted with us. And they are in a state of let there come out of you or ban the people. Praying to expand this rescue that your creator has given you each year until you start to build and establish your own share of the dunya in this reality. Will you or your children down the road, a couple of generations, will be them purified itself because they've been living in a halal reality, intellectual, emotional, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, and many people coming every day to refuge. People are seeking a large refuge to live where we are in this United States of America and all over this earth, the Muslims.
Okay.
And then we'll see some
all
progress
right, well
that will really make us happy.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, and we're down to our final minute and a half here, and I'd like to thank everyone that participated in voice. And what I would like to ask our audience, Mark, is to say that invite others to hear this. If you think this is good news, invite others to listen to this, because more than our audience who already are probably knowledgeable, some has probably already read the book, there's a lot of people out here that need this, and if they heard it, you'll be surprised how it would do, especially with the Quranic verses that our audience are bringing in here. So next week, let's invite somebody to tune in and listen. I know that's what I do for my clients. I tell them, hey, tune in. You have to remind them a few times there, but I have seen a few on there. So let's continue to do that, and we'll be surprised. Because we can get more audience like this.
Yeah, real quickly, you know, it would be a good advice to get the book, and so that way you can follow along with us every week. Get the book by Napoleon Hill, Outwitting the Devil. And you can go to Amazon, or you can go maybe your local bookstore, Walden or Noble or what, and get the books. That way you can follow along this week. Thank you.
Yeah, I've bought it at Books A Million and Barnes & Noble. So sometimes they have to order it for you, but you can get it in a week or so there. All right. Well, we've enjoyed being with you. We are out of time, and we'll see you next week. God be willing. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Adam D. out here on Money Sense on AM360 on this Thursday morning, April the, and I should remember this, 18th, month of April. I want to welcome everybody to our program today, and those that listened to our previous program with Critical Issues with the with Henry Hasib, excellent topic, and I agree with them. You need to invite people to listen in to that broadcast next week. But before I go in, I'm going to read something from the Quran, as I normally do on Thursday mornings, inshallah. And this is from Surah Al-Baqarah, 268 and 269 ayahs of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Al-shaitanu ya'idukumul faqra. فقرا ويكمركم بالفقشاء وله يعيدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا وله واسع عليم يؤتي الحكمة من يشاء ومن يؤت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب صدق الله العظيم. And the translation is given by Dur Yusuf Ali. He's referencing Allah from Shaitan, the accursed. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the shaitan threatens you with poverty and bids you to conduct unseemly. Allah promises you his forgiveness and bounties, and Allah cares for all, and he knoweth all things. He granteth wisdom to who he pleases, and he to whom wisdom is granted receive indeed a benefit overflowing. But none will grasp the message but men of understanding. Sadaq Allah al-Azim. Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. Alhamdulillah. As I said, this is Thursday, April 18th, and it's a time of reprieve for me, and I'm sure Brother Henry can weigh in on that. For those of us that are accountants and make a living doing taxes and giving financial advice to people, and that's basically what occurs during the average week for me, constantly getting phone calls from people. Might be tax issues, might be issues of, just like this past week, and I encourage my clients, then I'm doing your taxes, but for the most part, that was for 2023, right? There's not much advice I give you for 2023 because it's over, it's gone. But the main benefit that I can provide for you is that during the year when you're making these decisions, when you're doing things, and the time to call me is real time, not after the year is over with. I get a lot of people that during the year, they make these decisions based on whims and notions, based on something that their friend said, based on something they got over the social media, right? And they follow that advice and do something, not really knowing the effects of what they did, not knowing how it impacts their finances. And my main answer to them is, hey, why didn't you call me? Not because I'm this wise sage, this financial guru or whatever, but at least I have enough experience that I know that, hey, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. I might have in the past told you a story of a retired school teacher. That was my client. That's my client. And she needed some money for whatever reason. But she wasn't retired at that time, but she needed some money. And so she pulled $40,000 out of her retirement plan. But she had not reached the age that she could withdraw that money without penalty. So she took the $40,000 down. And they withheld 10% income tax, which is like $4,000. In her mind, and I know a lot of people's mind, because I get this all the time, when they bring their 1099-R in, and they say, well, I've already paid the tax on that money because they took out 10%. But she didn't realize that when she prematurely drew that money out before the official retirement age, that she had to pay a 10% penalty. So they withheld 10% on the money. And that's no different than you going to your employer, you're going to work, and they give you your paycheck. And if you look at your pay stub, you'll see that you might have grossed $1,000, but they start taking stuff out. They take out Social Security. They take out Medicare. That's government mandated. So for every dollar you earn as an employee, the employer has been instructed by Internal Revenue Service to withhold 7.65% of that dollar for Medicare and Social Security. When you filled out your W-4 and your NC-4, just come in North Carolina. I'm not sure what the form is in the state you live, but I'm sure if you have state income tax in that state, you had to fill out a state withholding form, where you give the information based on what you claim, and they go and say, okay, based on what you claim and what we're paying you, we got to withhold federal tax and state tax, right? But that's stuff that you tell them when you filled out the W-4. the teacher took out $40,000 in her early withdrawal from her retirement plan. IRS says if you do that, you have to pay a 10% penalty. So right off the bat, they withheld $4,000 on that $40,000. So she got $36,000. And in her mind, in the mind of a lot of people, I've already been taxed on that. No. You've already paid in advance withholdings. So that when you file your tax return, $40,000 has already been paid, the same as your job. When you take it, when you take out federal tax out of your check, that's just an advance withhold. That's just an estimate. That's all it is. So because she took out the $40,000, she had to pay a 10% penalty, which was the $4,000, and you had to pay income tax based on your tax bracket, your tax rate, whatever. So I think with her W-2 and other things, she was in a 20% tax bracket for federal and a 5% tax bracket for state. So you have 10% penalty, 20% federal tax, 5% state tax. What's that? 35%, right? So that $40,000 cost her $14,000. That's how much the tax burden was her, $14,000. So she ended up getting, instead of getting $40,000, she got $26,000. Right? The other $14,000 went to federal or state government. So when I'm doing her taxes, guess what? She owed some money. And my question to her was, surely you could have found some cheaper money than that. You understand? So during the year, I encourage my clients to say, hey, ask questions. It doesn't hurt to call me. You could have called me up. It took me 5 minutes to relate the reality of what you're about to do. So if you want to make a decision, you can do that. Another scenario, and I'm talking about this because maybe some of you might have a occasion to make some financial moves, and you can know the reality of what you're doing. Another scenario, I have a brother. He's a networker. He makes money in network marketing. Always got a new plan he's doing. Always trying to recruit me. And he wanted to buy a house. He saw this $400,000 house he wanted to buy. He just had to have it. The problem is the tax returns that he filed in the two previous years did not reflect the income that he would need to justify the banks giving him that mortgage. Those are some of the things that self-employed people, even employed people, have to go through. If you want to get a mortgage, the bank, one thing. You got to prove to us that you can pay us back. That's all they're saying. Based on your credit rating, based on your income, this is the ability of your income, you had to make us feel comfortable that if we give you this $400,000 mortgage, that you can pay us back. And I always tell people, you can't look good for the IRS and look good for the bank at the same time. You can't do it. You know, you want to pay the least tax And if you don't have your income locked in with a W-2 or a 1099 or whatever, people tend to want to not claim all that they make. And I tell them, I'm not an auditor. I'm not here to audit your numbers. Whatever you tell, especially if you're self-employed, whatever you tell me, that's what I'm put on the return. I have no obligation from Internal Revenue Service to make sure that the numbers you give me are accurate. Right? So they cut back here and they cut back there, and that might work in year one and year two. But in year three, you want to buy a house. Now you're trying to justify that you can pay the bank back, but you remember you cut back with IRS. So now your income that you filled out on your tax return does not justify the bank giving you that kind of a loan. So in this scenario, the better wanted a $400,000 house. And his real estate guy said you need to make at least X amount of dollars for you to get that mortgage. So he came to me to do his tax return, and he gave me a number that I need to make this kind of money. I said, well, okay, if I do it that way, you're going to end up paying $20,000 more in tax. Are you sure? He said, yeah. I said, bottom line, is that house worth $420,000 to you? Because that's putting a $20,000 price tag on top of the $400,000. He said, yes, it was. So he ended up paying $27,000 more dollars in tax. Because he wanted it. See how that works. Instead of going and claiming what you really made over the years, you had to pay an additional. I guess he would have paid it in the previous years if he'd done it right. But those are the types of things that we go through all the time. Another thing about tax time. Because not all my clients can buy a $420,000 house. I would say the average client I have are just working people that have a job. I have a lot of military retirement people here because, you know, this is the home of Fort Liberty. So I have a lot of people that decide to retire in the area. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I have a lot of people, young people that might work in a fast food place or whatever. And they might have a couple of children, so they're looking for that earned income credit. All these things, and I look at, I know Brother Henry, they were talking about poverty. They were talking about poverty. So all tax season, I run the gamut of people that are doing decent or people that are on the other end of the spectrum are poor. And I'm talking with them. I'm looking at their situations. I'm seeing what decisions they're making. And year in and year out, they tend to make the same decisions. Year in and year out. And the Shaitan is having a good time misleading people. And so much so that he's locked into not just the social media, but he's locked into the political leaders and everybody else. So without some thought, without some place of refuge, and that's the way we have to see our Muslim community, as a place of refuge. And we have to offer to the people a place of refuge to get away from this foolishness that's out there. I got a couple of hands out where one was one hand was up when I started, so I don't know if I should even consider that one, because he had a comment before I even started. But I have another one just came on. So I'm going to play a PSA, get that responsibility off of me, and then we'll be right back after that, and I'll address the caller 251. He's the next one up, and I'll bring him on. And we can talk about that. We'll be right back after this message.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
All right, we're back again. I want to just make an announcement that Graceline Community, Inc., we officially received our tax-exempt status from the Internal Revenue Service, so that's a good milestone. I just wanted to announce that. It's been a while, but we finally got that satisfied. All right, let's go to the phone lines, area code 251-404-254.
Assalamu alaikum, Adam. This is Henry Haseeb in Mobile, Alabama. And all I can say is I bear witness that you speaking the truth. A surprise, and I guess it's not a surprise, but you in North Carolina, right?
I am.
That North Carolina, okay. And I'm in Alabama. And I knew we had that problem in Alabama, but I would thought, you know, they used to say the South, you know, we didn't, especially African Americans, we didn't know anything down here, but looked like we're having the same problem with knowledge and information in the North, just like we're having in the South. I deal with those exact same problems there. And I always hope nobody else has to deal with them. I hope the people know more, but like you said, the lack of knowledge is really keeping our people down as a whole. Because I look at the money, like you said there, and I've had situations that I said, man, I mean, and it's too late to do something about it because they go and they make an action that they think they know. Just like how the devil say he puts it. They think they know, and when they come to you and you have to shock them, sometimes they won't look at you as the enemy. I've had cases like that where people took all of their retirement to roll it over, but they had them to send them the money. And it was like $70,000 extra dollars they had to pay, even though after they got the money, they put it into another retirement. Could not. I said, why didn't y'all call me? This is not the way. I say, all of this money that you got to pay that you didn't have to pay, it's just your lack of knowledge have cost you over a year's worth of income. And the government don't have no mercy on them. Now, one thing, and I tell my clients, I say, I'm not saying that the system we working in is fair, but it is the system. It's the law. Until we do, and how you get those laws changes, you have to go and vote for the people that work for those changes. But this is the system. And in order if you're going to do right in it, as you said, because let's face it, even if you don't report that stuff, when they find it out, if they find it out, they will come take your cars, your houses, and all of that, And I had a friend of mine just passed, and they told me that, because I didn't know that the IRS just sold her house for a third of what it was worth. I said, man, that is ridiculous. But that is the system we got to work in.
Yeah, and that's another thing. They come up there and they'll say, that ain't fair. I say, look here. Have you ever read the Constitution?
Yeah.
They say, no. I say, read the Constitution. The word fair ain't nowhere in there.
Ain't nowhere in there. It's nowhere
where you get fair
in
from?
There. Right. I say, yep, you're right, Adam. Because you probably have heard me say on our program sometimes, as a people, we're making $1.6 trillion. And the sad part about it is the benefit of that $1.6 trillion, I would think it's probably less than half.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it is being misused, and we paying taxes now for poor people is over 57% of their income. And like you said, even with the example that you gave there, seeing people that maybe is in a moderate income range, like you said, it took them up to 20%. Well, when it took them up to 20%, that's a higher tax bracket than they probably was in before they took that out. And it just messing them up because they have no sense of planning for that money. It cost them all of that money, almost 50% of what she got, she had to end up paying in taxes in no way at that stage around it. All you can do, I tell them, all I can do is cry with you because it is a sad situation. And the first thing they holler is, that's not fair. But it is the law. So I bear witness to what you're saying. People should take heed to what you're saying because it's 100% the truth. And instead of, like I charge a consultation fee when I'm outside of taxes, to sit down, I say, you trying to save this little consultation fee and you losing thousands on thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
But that's the life we live here. All right.
Yes,
that's what I want to
hear. Thanks, brother. All right, let's go to, this might be someone. Well, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt. 727-741, 727-741.
As-salamu alaykum. Alaykum as-salam. I never put my hand down. I apologize. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. I've been a victim of some error thinking, so I'm not going to even address it. You've already addressed it. Thank you so very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Making that sound. Yes, ma'am. I'm doing that. All right. And if anybody have any questions, just go ahead and you can ask the question. It'll be all right. We won't be embarrassed. If you don't want to claim it, just say your cousin wanted to know, and then I'll answer it, okay? Let's go to the next phone call, area code 914-434-914-434. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, they can have salam. I'm Adam Muhammad Sharif.
Yes.
I'm from New York.
Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. We help you, brother.
You know, it goes back to what the Imam said. Education is our number one priority. This is all part of the education. Now, to the question goes, if we are a whole community, north, east, south, or west, the whole community under Imam Muhammad's leadership, he has told us education our number one priority. And you see there's somewhere that we only have five or six full-time schools in this whole community.
Mm-hmm.
That means something's wrong with our thinking. Something is definitely wrong there. educating number one priority in all this ignorance. What can we do about this situation, Imam Adam?
Well, the thing is, Muhammad, we're talking about finances.
Yes.
And now one thing that Robert Kiyosaki wrote in this book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and yeah, another one, Cash Flow Quadrant. The average American lacks an adequate financial education. It didn't say they lacked, they can have a PhD and still lack an adequate financial education. And that's the problem. You got schools that people are graduating. I mean, some of my clients have graduated from college. They might be teachers or they might have other degrees. And they still lack the adequate financial education. Now, this is when he wrote the book back in the early 2000s. And now with social media, and a lot of people are making decisions on stuff they hear on social media, which is wrong, they still lack an adequate financial education. And people are benefiting from the public that lack an adequate financial education. You can see in the advertising they have on television and what they're trying to appeal to people to make decisions and buy things, that they're doing it for people that, again, lack an adequate financial education. So where do you go to get that kind of education? Where do you go? And, you know, people don't know where to go. And they get taken advantage of. I can remember back in the day before all this social media and whatever, you had people, I know in the black community, we had people trying to beat people out of money, right? And I can remember being in the projects in the hood, and the OG there was talking to us, and he would tell us about, he would use the term, he's a good mark. And he would show us how to work con game, and things of that nature. And we would see him beating people out of money. And he would come to us and said, a good mark is someone that has larceny in their heart. That's the language he used. You can beat somebody if they have larceny in the heart. What does he mean by larceny in their heart? That they're trying to get something for nothing. You understand? A person that's trying to get something for nothing has larceny in their heart. You know what that means? Larceny in your heart? Right? So now they're taking the con game off the streets, and they're taking the con game off the corners, and they put the con game on the internet, on social media. I get spam phone calls all the time. All the time. Now they get email. I get emails. Some person I never heard of. And said they want me to do their taxes, and they heard I was a good accountant. And they send me a file of their tax documents. I got enough sense to know to open that file up. Yeah, I don't know this person. And then if you put the cursor over their name, you can see the email address that was sent from. And the email address it was sent from is some foreign country. And I said, you're trying to scam me. If I had opened that file, they would have put a virus on my computer. So I don't open files like that. I just say, I guess this client ain't for me because I'm not biting. But that's a new age scam. Or the scam on a phone call. I get so much spam calls, I don't even answer my phone, my cell phone no more. One time I made a mistake and answered my phone, and this person is trying to sell me something. I said, oh, okay. I said, how much they pay you to be a scam artist? I tell them that. Or they'll say, you have a chance to make this kind of money. I said, I tell you what, I'm going to pass on that, but do me a favor, give it to your mama. You know, they hate me. I said, give it to your mama for me. Do me that favor. Mm-hmm. Oh, they get mad. So now the scam artist has moved from the corner to the internet. And most people, if they get scammed, ain't going to tell you that I got scammed. The same way in the community. If someone got beat in the community, they wouldn't come on the block the next day and say, hey, man, I got beat yesterday. They're so embarrassed they ain't going to mention it. Can you imagine how many people you and I know that got beat? They don't come on the social media and say, hey, I got beat yesterday. Why? Because they don't want us to know that they had lost me in their hearts and thought they were going to get something for nothing. That makes sense? That makes sense. So now, you got there certain things you had to do. And Allah says in the Quran, but we don't fall, we shouldn't fall victim to those types of things. And we shouldn't rely on social media to give us our financial education because we don't know that person. We don't know who is there, and we don't know what's motivating them. So my thing is, I guess I'll miss out on this one. One thing we learned in the street, Muhammad. Mm-hmm. You probably know the answer. If it's too good to be true, guess what?
It's not true.
I mean, those are age-old axioms, age-old things we should have learned in the street. So that was my education, the street. And I passed over many so-called good opportunities because I knew, I understood the game. I understood the con. And the con has not stopped. It's taken it to a whole new level. And Americans get conned all the time. So much so that they put the master con artists up in front of everybody now. The master con artist, and he's conning all the way to the court, still conning. And I just don't understand that. I said, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. So they want me to support this con artist as an open con man. And by trying to let me to believe that everybody else is con artists. But him. that's why I get in trouble. God called, and he's a Muslim. I call him MAGA Muslim. Oh, they mad with me because I call him a MAGA Muslim. What's a MAGA? Stop for love, bro. What's a MAGA Muslim? I said, look in the mirror. Anyway, I don't know how I got way over there, but I guess this is fitting, but Mom, I guess it's fitting.
Yes.
But we got to trust in Allah and use our common sense, which we have now figured out that common sense ain't common no more.
No more.
Ain't common at all. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
Not common at all. So anything you want to say, Muhammad, while you're here?
Yeah, while I'm here, I just want to say, what can we do to get our people understand education is number one priority. And that education will start right with the child, 2 year, 3 year old. Teaching right there. Open school, we need our own public schools. I don't understand why we don't understand this.
Well, it's all the stuff that's floating out in the popular, all the stuff that's floating out. I mean, I don't know about where you are, but North Carolina, you know, you got people running for office and whatever. I was at a meeting last night. I got another call I want to get on, but I was at a meeting last night, and there in our local school system, school board, we got a running, trying to build another school, trying to move the traditional school that's been around for years, and they're trying to move it to another location, right? And right. You got all these people, even African Americans, that's on board to make that happen. But they're not looking out for the welfare of our children. Do you realize the enrollment in our school system has dropped by 10,000 students in the last few years? Not that they moved away or whatever, but the state has given vouchers that allows parents to go to private schools or charter schools or whatever out of the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? They've allowed mm-hmm. that to happen. So we're saying, no, support the schools where the children are.
Right.
They don't want to put money in minority students. The problem is that in a county that's probably around 40% African-American, there's nobody sounding the alarm. And they say, when in NAACP, and I'm not good like Mark is, I need to come up with an acronym to describe the NAACP because they're pitiful, right?
Mm.
Pitiful, but they're quiet on it. We have, all we got to do is speak out, and that's all we got to do, but in this environment, many of us are not doing it. Why? Because I guess it might mess up their relationship with the powers that be or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to stand up. And it's the same way, I'm sure, all over the country. We just had to stand up. Don't have to be the majority. There has to be a vocal into the issues being led by our understanding of the Quran. But don't let people come amongst us and whisper that we shouldn't get involved in politics or some crazy, idiotic idea like that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to attack that. Or we shouldn't worry about, we shouldn't get involved to where it might affect us. And that's the problem. Too many people are quiet on this thing. And what good is it to have all this knowledge? What good is the knowledge? Willing to speak out and take position. So we're in the closet with all this knowledge. That bright knowledge. But they get out the closet so more people can see it. But we're in the closet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I gotta go. I got somebody else on the line, brother. Thank you very much for tuning
okay.
in, brother.
You're quite well.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, well, alaikum as-salam.
All right, let's go back to phone lines. Area code 251-44-25144. As-salamu alaikum.
As-salamu alaikum, Al. I just wanted again to bear witness that what you and Muhammad is talking about is definitely needed. But as we get into this conversation with outwitting the devil, you're gonna begin to see how education has been used against us and not for us. And we're going to have to go in and, like you said, to look at those things there that is causing us the problem, because a lot of times we on the wrong side. We supporting things for our demise. I mean, we just, like you say, on the con, we showing that we got a, whatever you said, that part that a person's got to be. So when you are taken advantage of, you're afraid to say something because you had that in your heart in the first place, and you don't want others. Therefore, it keeps going on and on and on. But I agree with Muhammad. Somewhere along the road, we, especially who know better, going to have to begin to try to stop and share this information and knowledge with others, and perhaps they may be able to do what we only can talk about right now. So I just wanted to add that to it because I think that is another important part that we're going to have to look at. But we work against ourselves. I that part I don't understand, but it's happening. I tell the people I talk to about this, I say you can give out, just don't give up, because I know it'll make it sometimes like you want to give up. But I say we can't afford to give up. We got to keep fighting this thing. I don't care how dim it looks. But so let's keep working at it, and Allah will bless us to make some progress. And I think we are making some. It's just hard for some of us to see it right now. Mm-hmm. But inshallah, we're gonna get to the promised land.
Yeah, and the thing about progress, not saying we're not making progress, but I can't stop doing what I'm doing on what might be happening.
Right.
And we have to see that what we're doing in terms of fighting is really the energy that's needed to progress and to continue progressing. So a lot of people are saying that because they don't want to. A lot of people are saying that because they don't want to do anything.
They don't want to do it,
right? They want an excuse to not have to fight, not have to do anything. Well, it's progress, so I can stop now. Well, you never started the first time.
Right. Well, you know, the attitude is, hey, my vote don't count. Wait a minute. I mean, that's a bad attitude to have, period. So therefore, what they're saying is no need of me voting. It don't count. And when you got that kind of attitude and then you start getting the majority of the people thinking like that, then you wonder why we get the type of government that we got. So, but that's all part of that satanic scheme. Believe it or not, a lot of us who call ourselves Muslims, and I don't say that with disrespect, but we're Muslim, we fall into the same trap. And the devil, he ain't got no thing over, like you say, if you're a thinker, then ain't nothing he can do with you. But he don't have no respect for any particular religion. He going to try to get them all. And too many times I think he gets too many of us. So we got to begin to work against that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I just wanted to add that to you.
Thank you, brother. Alhamdulillah.
All right.
I last week said a few, the few, not the many, and the people that are steadfast and consistent are a few. And I said, how often has a smaller force conquered a bigger force? So that should give us hope that we don't stop. That's in the plan of Allah SWT. All right. So we can't. I hope everybody enjoyed the last hour. And I know a lot of people didn't wade in, but those that did, I thank Allah for you for you wading in. alhamdulillah. But, you know, it's important. Excuse me. But we're going to have to get people working in the same area, working together, whether it's in a from a local position or even nationally. You know, we have a national order. We have people all over. I'm looking at some of the numbers, and there are people representing many areas from all over the country, right? And if that means that we join together in whichever way we can to support each other and to help spread the message so that others can get involved. Right. So the others can get involved, and that's the thing that we have to do. When I look at the program like Imam Muhammad started on collective purchasing, and my understanding was he said we have to duplicate that in the areas that we are. Can you imagine if in your town that there's a group that besides you purchase goods and services collectively in order to get a better price, save money? Can you imagine what would happen then? And that's the purpose of it. And it's the same way now. And believe it or not, that's one of the reasons why we started Graceline Community, to have a vehicle can acquire knowledge that might benefit them. All right, got a phone call. I'm going to have a caller that keeps popping up. All right, let's bring this call in.
Alhamdulillah.
727-408. Well, like an Islam. Oh,
how you doing, brother? Alhamdulillah. Yeah, Brother Adam, you're part of Graceline, right?
I am. Yes,
okay,
sir.
I want to give out the information about the pre-membership. I hope I'm doing this right. I got online and did it and surveyed. I just don't have the info right now how they can put their pre-membership, if I hope I'm doing this right, pre-membership inside, fill out that form so they can have that and tell us the reality of what's being done by them doing that. And how to do that.
All right, yeah, thank you very much for that. Yeah, if you can, go to gracelinecommunity.org. gracelinecommunityinc.org. That's gracelinecommunityinc.org. And you'll see a link that says support us. Click on that, and you can register for the support, or you can also we'll go there and you can and I'm sorry, not know which one of the other brothers are on here or sisters that can help us, but go there and register and become a member. And trying to see the link that you would go to. Or you can register for one of our personal finance courses. It doesn't cost anything. So go to gracelinecommunityinc.org. If you have any problem, get up with me. My number is 910-527-6641. So, Brother Bilal, I appreciate that, brother.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I told Rabbi I was going to do it. I got to get on my job. All righty, then.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you're Rabbi.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all righty.
And we'll see if we can have a program coming up in the future with some of the board members of Graceline Community and talk about some of the things that we're going to do, inshallah.
Inshallah. All right. As-salamu.
Thank you very much, my brother. Wa alaykum as-salam. And I'm getting ready. Yeah, I'm getting ready for our next program following this with the Imam Yusuf Ramadan, A New Day for Islam in America. And I didn't get his topic but I'm sure it's going to be a good one. So, yeah, I'm going to get ready to get out the way because the show is coming up in, I still got 3 or 4 minutes. So if anybody wants to make a comment, just press 1. They got a couple of minutes left in the program. But I'll see if I can put together a program with some of the Graceland people. Here's somebody who wants to say something. Eric O 972-467. 972-467.
As-salamu alaykum. Well, I'm from my family in Dallas, Texas. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to also add on that website, you also become a membership form that people can fill out also. So I think you need a certain amount of members. Is that correct?
Yeah, we
for Graceland.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
So just a reminder that people can also become a member also.
I was trying to find the link where they do that. Oh, okay. All right. I didn't scroll down far enough. When you go to the landing page, as they call it, scroll down to the bottom and it says, become a member today. Click here to register. It doesn't cost anything to become a member. But if you want to be a member of Graceland Community, click that and fill out the form. Thank you, Brother Smell. I appreciate that, man. I assume you've already done
it. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, go ahead and sign up, become a member. Eventually, we're going to need to show a certain amount of membership. And then, as I said, it doesn't cost anything to be a member. So support our efforts. And in the future, and we'll be able to talk more about it. In the future, we're going to do some good things, and we need your support. So please do that. And I'll try to get a few of the board members on next week, if possible. We can talk about that. Thank you very much, Brother Ishmael. Appreciate it, man. And we'll be right back in a minute with Imam Yusuf Ramadan for the show. And in the interim, we're going to play this PSA and look forward to next week, inshallah, to Money Sinks, right here on AM360, Blog Talk Radio. Take care.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is peace be unto you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from a Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is, and always should be, the human perspective. And so we have a few themes that we would like to address today concerning those current events and trending topics in our community. We pray and trust that all of you had a very blessed Ramadan and Eid Mubarak, as we did. Spirit was very high in all the places that I'm aware of, even when there was negative situations that occurred, as in Philadelphia. Alhamdulillah, we have the spirit of the Ummah, not just in America, but throughout the world, is very high, in spite of the fitna that we are experiencing in Yemen, Gaza, other areas of occupied Palestine, the West Bank, and various countries in the continent of Africa. So we know that there's, as the Bible speaks about wars and rumors of wars, you know, even though the situation is very tenuous, very grave, and promises to bring more bloodshed in the Middle East. We are grateful to Allah for blessing us to come to another Ramadan, to have experienced the special blessings, the special blessings. You know, Allah blesses us all the time. But we are aware, as Allah says, you know, that you will experience it. You know, the only way to experience it and to you know, become aware of it is to experience it, if you only knew, if you only knew. And the only way to know is to follow the guidance of Allah, to obey Allah. You know, there are people who make blanket statements. It's very popular now, particularly, well, I would say throughout, across the board, but particularly in the so-called African-American progressive, some might say woke, you know, community, to condemn religion, or as they say, organized religion. And, you know, I saw a podcast where they say that all religion has failed us, African Americans. And the brother quoted, brother who I do have a lot of respect for as a young man, Brother Riza Islam, but he just happens to be wrong on this. He quoted Minister Farrakhan as saying all religions have failed. All religions have failed. But we don't accept that. You know, we know that Allah has told us in the Quran that this day have I perfected, and the Imam interpreted also as preferred, Al-Islam as your religion. Have I perfected it? So the way of life is perfect. If we're not living up to it, that's not a reflection on the religion. You don't judge a religion by those who claim to adhere to it. Rather, you judge the people by the religion that they claim to adhere to. and during the time of Rasulullah. Peace be upon it. The blessings and peace be upon him, the Prophet. When he was the Qadi, he was the judge in Medina, and the Jewish people were brought to him for judgment. Tell them, what does your book say? What does your book say? And some of them would say, we want to be judged by your book. We'd rather be judged by your book. Because the Quran was more merciful. But the Prophet would hold them to their own book. So you don't judge people. Anybody can call themselves anything. Imam W.D. Muhammad, rahimahullah, he told us to be true to your label. Be true to your label. Don't call it chicken noodle soup if there's no chicken in it. You might want to call it chicken with broth, chicken and stars, as some Campbell soups are labeled. Or just broth, you know, chicken noodle soup. Be true to your label. People are not true to their label, you see. And I believe that the brother was trying to really ameliorate the other two people that wanted to panel with him, whose position was religion really has no is no benefit. And he went on the brother Rizal Islam went on to say that Minister Farrakhan said, you can argue about religion after we're free. Well, you know, they said, he was saying, you just pray five times a day and do nothing. But that's not the religion of Al-Islam, is it? No, that's not the religion of Al-Islam. So there's much confusion about what it means to live your religion. First and foremost, the Imam has told us that historically, even though we don't agree with Christianity, those adherents to it, in our history, coming out of slavery, you know, looking to God for salvation, for freedom, it enables us to rise up out of the ashes of slavery, the mud. It helped us to form families, even during slavery. We had, to the best of our ability, under those circumstances, intact families, which, of course, were ripped apart by the whole institution of slavery. But we had aspirations to have intact families. That would be the first step towards, quote-unquote, freedom, liberation. First, you have to liberate your mind and your heart. You have to come out of Egypt. Imam told us that coming out of Egypt wasn't a geographical thing. Coming out of Egypt is with the mind. Come out of the mindset of Egypt. So instead of fasting during the month of Ramadan, those in the Nation of Islam fasted during December. That's bringing your mind out of Egypt, of getting drunk and eating pork and dissipating yourselves for the month, for the hollow days, known as holidays. Spending up all your money, going into debt, running up credit cards. Well, we did have them. We didn't even have credit cards back then. If some people had them, we couldn't get them because we couldn't qualify. But going into debt, borrowing money that you didn't have, pay for things that you didn't need. So this is my point to people who, not just them, but others that look upon religion as a waste of time. No, getting your life together, getting your life in order. I just had a conversation with one of my nephews who went in business, made a lot of money, and wasted the money, got broke, and now he's starting all over again. And he moved, or he's contemplating moving. He went for interviews in another city, got the job. I had no doubt that he would get the job with his knowledge and experience. But I said to him, the same thing gonna happen to you all over again. No, that's not. Why not? You don't have a problem making money. You don't have a problem. Now you got a pretty good job. He's not working for himself, but he got a pretty good job with another company that does the same thing he does. You know, HVAC, HVAC, pretty good compensation and things that they were talking about. But that's not the point, making the money. The point is to get yourself in order. If you're going to just waste money buying $100,000 cars or leasing $100,000 cars and showing off and drinking alcohol and champagne and running around with a bunch of women that you don't care about and don't care about you, you're going to be broke all over again. That's not hate. Oh, y'all are haters. No, that's not hate. That's forecasting. Or you can tell the future through the signs Allah has given me. If you look out and see it's cloudy and overcast and drizzling a little bit, doesn't that indicate what the future holds, at least the immediate future? So he didn't get it. Oh, that's not going to happen this time. Of course it is. Oh, I'm not going to hang out with them guys. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to live around them. Yeah, but if you're attracted to that life, it's going to happen all over again. You're not adhering. Don't just say, Salaam alaikum, alaikum as-salam. That don't mean nothing. You know, I was in Albany one time on the way to Juma with some brothers many years ago. And we stopped at a light. And it was some brothers standing on the side, as we have in every city, you know, dissipating, sitting there smoking reefer and drinking cheap wine, just wasting their time and looking wasted. And they looked over at the car. I guess they recognized we were Muslims. And the brother said, peace. And the brother said, peace. He said, well, you just can't say peace. You have to establish peace within yourself. Establish peace through obedience to Allah. That's it. Ain't no other peace that you're going to establish. Because there's going to be other things. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to accumulate financial resources. And in time, like I told him, you know, when you get back on your feet, you can start your business again in the new city. Allah said, my earth is spacious. But if you're going to pursue those things that brought you down the first time, what do you think is going to happen the second time? It's built into it. The hangover is built into the imbibing of the alcohol. That's not Allah punishing you. That's you punishing yourself. It's not a mystery that if you drink strong drink, you're going to get drunk. It's going to bring you down, bring you low. Not high. They call it high, but it's low. That's not a mystery. It's not magic. I wonder how that happened. You know exactly how it happened. I had to give him a dose of reality, you know, because some other family members were trying to admonish him, and that was his, you know, response. Y'all are haters. You know, this is a word that they adopted, a hip-hop word. You're a hater, you know, meaning you're jealous. No, nobody jealous. We're trying to help you out. We were helping you out at the time you were talking. Trying to help you get on your feet. You didn't have nowhere to stay while you were coming to interview for the jobs, et cetera. Well, how's that hating? Nobody jealous of you.
is only being said to you through love. Well, we want to act like, oh, you're getting a job. Oh, those are good benefits. You're making money, and you're going to get a percentage of the thing you, you know, the products that you, that's all well and good. But that's not going to be the end. Huh? You can accumulate things. Controlling your resources will control your world. You know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said that you should live each day as though you're going to live forever. And also at the same time, as though you're going to die tomorrow. And find that balance. Because if you live today like you're going to die tomorrow, you're going to not procrastinate and put off for tomorrow what you can do today. Because tomorrow is not promised to you, promised to no man. And if you live as though you're going to live forever, then you won't follow the Romans and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Because if you wake up in your drunken stupor and you didn't die, and you wake up with your hangover, then you realize, wow, I should have went to work today. I was supposed to go to work today. I have bills to pay. I was supposed to pay my light bill. Brother called me during Ramadan. I've been sitting in the house without lights for weeks or days. So I couldn't leave him in that condition. But I have to ask myself, how did you get to that point? You knew it was coming. They sent you warnings. They told you they were going to cut it off. Now, admittedly, I paid my bill. But every time they send me a daggone bill, they tell me, you got a cut-off notice. I mean, you got to be kidding. Why? Why would I have a cut-off notice? What reason would I have a cutoff note? But, you know, this is some of the tactics that they use to ensure payment. You know, they're not as lenient, I would say, with the people anymore. You fall behind, boom, they cut off your services. Whether it's cable, your phone bill, the same person that I'm talking about, every time I turn around, his phone is off. They cut his phone off. You know, and it wasn't that he didn't have access to any resources. He just didn't allocate it properly. And it's not that he's a bad person. He's not a bad brother. He has good qualities, but he doesn't allocate his resources. He doesn't prioritize first things first. You know, when I was a young man, an older gentleman told me one time, he said, you know, a lot of these young people, they buy what they want and beg for what they need. They buy what they want and beg for what they need. So you listen to New Day, Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some important announcements for you, so please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Now's the time to make your tax-deductible donation to keep the programs you care about strong for the coming year. It's easy. Just visit cwsc.us and click on the blue donate button today, or just call us at 910-317-0297. And thanks for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, this is Ms. Noura Amatullah Muhammad. I'm calling to support CWSC and American Muslim 360 because it has been a great service for me, especially during this Ramadan. Before, I was not able to read from the Quran because of blindness, and was not able to find anyone who would spend the time to read for me. But hanging in there with American Muslims
360, I was able to hear every Jew every day, and I loved the Arabic reading with the English translation. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The things that Imam Muhammad has told us to do bring success to our lives. And I want you to know that American Muslims 360 has made my Ramadan the best Ramadan in 8 years. I am so thankful to Allah. And I thank all the readers, and I thank American Muslims 360 for having the courage to go ahead and remake the world. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. You are welcome to my pledge from now on, and every time I get a little extra money, you can see me coming through. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.
And we're back, Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah, we're back. Yeah. This was a very, very wonderful and rewarding Ramadan, as they all are, as they all are. I must say, I'm grateful to Allah, so grateful to Allah. I can never thank him enough for all of the blessings that he's given to me and all of us, the Muslim community in general, you know, alhamdulillah. So we'd like to hear from you, and perhaps you want to share some of your thoughts on the topic and some of your experiences during this month of Ramadan that we just experienced, and the Eid al-Fitr. If there's anyone that would like to chime in right now, Beverly Bear, we'll bring them in.
No one has pressed one on their phone. We invite you to share what Allah has blessed you with throughout the blessed month of Ramadan. We continue to share even beyond Ramadan. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Okay. Brother Bilal.
All right.
727-408.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah. I come into a greater reality of the fact that I have to utilize, that we have a great need to utilize the potential that Allah has given us to establish things that will make us more productive, more progressive in our life. As a person and as a community, and we can be in inshallah that we make the intent, or we ask Allah to help us, to put us in a position that we can be established as zakat and not in life, so we'll be a progressive Muslim and we'll be able to give to the upkeep and to the growth of the things that we need to have built for our community to grow and prosper. So inshallah, we focus in on that, and we becoming more productive as a people, and have the material need that we have to have. And also, I'd like to make mention of the Graceline Community Inc. Incorporated. The fact that there's a membership thing that they can do. They can go online for Graceline Community Inc. and pull down a membership form and fill that form out. And this is a help for us to establish ourselves even more practical as a community. And also it shows that we have a X amount of membership to qualify for certain things. I think that more information can be given out on that. I just don't have enough of it right now, though. But inshallah, I want to put that out on every show. So, assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Bilal. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Praise be to Allah. Press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic.
All right. If you'd like to share with us that event, we're always interested in hearing from you.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. You know, the thought it's like an ether. The thought that is going through the mind of human beings concerning the value of religious life. There are many, well, not many, but there are some of our young people say, I don't want organized religion. I'm just spiritual. What they're really saying is, I don't want to live a disciplined life. I want to do what I want to do and still claim a religion. You know, I'm not sure. I think it was Einstein or somebody said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You know, the numbers that we utilize here in the West, it's called Arabic numerals. Arabic numerals. That enable the human being to make more precise calculations by way of math and design. Prior to that, they were using Greek numerals, LV1. That's 56. LV1111. That's 58. Can you imagine? I mean, how complicated is that? But the math that everyone is really relying on came from the mind of Muslims. Algebra got its birth among Muslims. The scientific explosion that have occurred after the coming of the Quran, it is Muslims that gave birth. No, praise be to Allah. It was Allah that gave birth to that, utilizing the Quran and the believer. So the things that we enjoy now, the cell phone, the computer, microwave ovens, automobile, air flight, those are from out of the pure sciences. And it is Al-Islam and the religious scholars, even Christians, that revisited that old knowledge and applied what they found in the Quran. So that is why we have all of these conveniences. And what has to be stated to the human being is that these things always existed, always. But it is God that led the human mind to these benefits that we are benefiting from. It's like they make an equation. Where am I getting the greatest benefit from? Oh, all right. Science, technology, these phones and these computers. Well, it is Almighty God that created that and even created the mind to be able to receive that information and how to properly apply it. That is the value of religion. We have to let people know that those things that you derive benefit from are blessings from Almighty God. Al-Islam is not just a spiritual good feeling. It's not. It leads man to science, technology, the expanding of man's mind and the opportunities open to him. The first revelation, Iqra, read,
in the name of your God and Lord that created what? Everything. Educate yourself. And that education is a gift from Almighty God. Religion, praise be to Allah, religious life gets all the credit for the things that we are enjoying on this earth. That's where the connection must be made. And as religious leaders, we have to say that. We have to say that. It's not just about, you know, the spiritual life. It's just not about the spiritual life. So people are looking at the conveniences that they have, but they don't have the connection as concerning the source of the conveniences that you have. So, you know, we have to say that. I don't think we have done a good enough job to make the connections from the Creator to science, the human brain, and the benefits that we are enjoying from that. We have to make the connection. The correction has to come from religious leadership. Religious leadership. So they are making a decision, say, well, I'm getting more benefit from this computer. When I go to a church, you know, I hear a sermon, you know, and we sing, clap our hands, and that's just that. But no, that's not just that. Religion is proper education. Proper education. And it is us, those that are in religious life, we have to make the connection of these things that you are equating of great value. They're blessings from Almighty God, Allah, the Creator. Whatever the scientists use for his experiment is a part of the creation. Read the creation. Read the creation. You know, I said something once, and I heard a very silent, loud gasp. And I like sharing what Allah says. Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? Imam Muhammad have given some commentary on that. Beneficent. Beneficent means benefit. That's one blessing, benefit. And the next blessing is Redeemer. If you fall short, know that you have the capacity to redeem yourself. And there's another commentary that I would like to also add to that. Allah says he have created everything in pairs. In pairs. So me being a free thinker, I thought to myself, I said, well, okay, when everything that Allah has created, it has an exterior and an interior. An exterior and an interior. Allah wants us to get the benefit of the exterior. And the greater benefit is the interior, inside of creation, science, technology, physics, all of these things. So I'll stop right there, my brother. And let me say this too, praise be to Allah. I had a wonderful Ramadan. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah, and I trust that everyone else did too. But I want to say that, and we enjoy a wonderful Eid celebration. The celebration is not that we, now I can eat. Whew. Now I can throw down. that's not what we're celebrating. The celebration is the return back to our original innocent nature. That is what we are celebrating. And it is at this time that we look and we see the suffering of humanity. The fast should connect us to those that have less than we do. It's one thing to have sympathy. It's another thing to have empathy. Empathy means that I truly feel what you're feeling, what you're feeling, what is happening in Yemen, Gaza, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Sudan, during the month of Ramadan, Sudan. It is the greatest misplacement of people inside of any border that the world has ever known. And babies are dying of starvation. That connects us. That should humble us. So anyway, I'll stop right there, my brother, and I'm hoping that we all had a blessed Ramadan and that we have returned back to humility, appreciation, and gratitude. And if we can't do it, if we can't physically alleviate the wrongs that we're seeing, at least speak out against it. Speak out against it. And we are blessed to have these airways to at least express it, to speak out against it, because we feel what they're feeling. We went through 30 days of absence from food, drink, you know, and it took us inside of ourselves. We made the connection with the purity of our original nature. And that is what we celebrate. But let us take special note. Let's not, you know, how can I say? Yeah, speak out against it. I'll stop right there. Speak out against that, against what is happening. Don't be afraid, oh, they're going to shut us down. And well, if they do, follow what Allah has said. When you see a wrong, change it with your hand. If you can't change it with your hand, speak out against it. Or either just feel bad about it in your heart. But Imam Muhammad made a correction on that. If you don't hate it in your heart, you won't take action to alleviate that, nor will you speak out against. So you know, praise be to Almighty God. I'm just one of us to stay balanced. And there's one more information I want to share. Pardon me, I'm just full of it, ain't I?
That's what you got. You share with us what Allah gave you. So please.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. All the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We hear, and there are reports given by those that take note of such things, that people are entering Islam in droves, that this is the fastest growing religion on the earth at this time. In relationship to what happened at the Eid in Philadelphia, it took my mind to what Allah says in the Quran. When you see the people entering the religion in crowds, seek refuge with your guardian Lord. Imam Muhammad shares some commentary on that. He goes, what does that mean? Why should you seek refuge with your guardian Lord? He said, because when you throw out a wide net, you may be fishing for goldfish, but you subject to pull in the octopus, all kinds, you know, all kinds of stuff. And people come, they come with who they are. They come with those same bad practices, maladies, and sets of mind. Just because they say, that is not a magical statement that they immediately change. They bring with them the deficits that they have with them. And it is the job of the civilized person to civilize the uncivilized. So we've got a big job on our hands. The more people come in, the more we must properly educate them, because they bring with them who they are until there's a transformation and an education and a conforming to what Allah has revealed. So we send dua for the community in Philly. You know, it's not a condemnation on them, but we will bring, there will be people entering this religion, and they still are who they are until the conforming takes place. So praise be to Allah. I'll stop right there, my brother. There's another caller on the line that I respect and want to hear what they have to say.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Miracle 727-408. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. This is Bilal again. You had the situation where I don't know why Iran attacked Israel, okay? But then Israel say that, well we gonna do them something. We know we gonna do them something. And so the first thing came to my mind, well, they're gonna attack part of the Palestinians, right? So they killed over 56 Palestinians, but yet and all, that wasn't their retaliation. They're still saying that's not their retaliation yet. So I'm trying to figure out what the retaliation is going to be. Now, hold that. Now here we go again. Israel say that they can handle Iran. Now, but here you got the UN, Canada, and all the people saying right now, no, Israel can't do that. But yet and all, Israel do know that America and Canada and the rest of the people are gonna they gonna have their back. So Israel just, you know, Israel remind me of somebody just running game in the hood, and they know what they doing, and America and them America and the rest of those nations, Canada and them that supporting and backing them up, they knew what's going on too. You know, this is like a real big sick game that being played on the people. But they better realize that Allah's in charge, and they're going to pay for what they've done. Whoever the wrongdoers are, they're going to pay for it. But it's a sickening situation to see that kind of stuff going on in quote unquote in government. And these are the people, you know, running this show in these countries, though. But, you know, praise be to Allah that we know that Allah's in charge and everything going to be all right. But that's, you know, that's a retarded kind of mind that I'm looking at. Very, very sick people that operating in the UN and other different places, you know, throughout this world that's supposed to be in charge of stuff.
Yes. Before you leave, you say you don't know why Iran launched
that
attack.
I didn't know something happened, but I didn't know what it was.
Yes, sir. Let me explain. Well, say the information that I received.
Okay, go ahead.
An embassy in another country is representative of the country of that embassy. And it is international law that if you attack the embassy, it is as if you have attacked the country and the land that embassy represents. And
okay.
Israel launched an attack on the Iranian embassy and consulate in Syria. That's the same thing as if they had attacked Iran itself. So, and I applaud the Iranians in that their response, according to what I, how I'm hearing now, that they aimed their response not at the citizens of Israel, but at the military installations following the instructions of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him that prohibits us in times of war of attacking non-combatants. And let me say this. Hamas created a grave sin in attacking innocent civilians. In El Islam, we do not take hostages. These are articles of war. These are articles of war. When you leave the Prophet Muhammad, you have gone far astray, you see.
Right.
And we know the pressure and the oppression, the terrible condition that the Zionist state of Israel have placed on an innocent people. But Allah says, do not let the hatred of a people toward you cause you to swerve, cause you to do the same evil that they have done to you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
So I'll stop right there. But it is the prime minister. It is Netanyahu that wants to expand this conflict because that buys him time in office. The citizens of Israel, they want to prosecute him for corruption and move and take him out of office. So it is his design, if he can, he wants to drag the United States into this conflict. That is his aim. So he, to preserve his political life and his freedom from justice, That is his aim. We all see it. We all know it. But and I must say this about our own representatives. They are bought and paid for. How can you witness what we are witnessing? And then be against a ceasefire. Matter of fact, they are even coming on college campuses now, shutting down protest of what is happening in occupied Palestine. They are canceling events, people coming to speak on college campuses. This is the McCarthy era all over again. Our news is heavily censored. It is fake news. So in these troubled times, we hold to our faith, do what we know to be right, and trust in Almighty God, Allah.
All right, but
Allah is in charge at all times. So I'll stop by. I hope that gives you some clarity.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Let me just comment on some of that. The reality is Prophet Muhammad SAW, the Muslims during that time, they did take prisoners of war. They're calling them hostages. But meanwhile, they're emphasizing that those hostages should be released. But the reality is, there are thousands of Palestinians hostages.
They
have the temerity to call them prisoners. They are not prisoners. They're in prison, but they are hostages.
and they're using them to ransom, and this is what Prophet Muhammad did also, to ransom for their prisoners of war. So,
right.
And those have been taken hostage by Hamas. They're calling them, they have been released saying, of speaking of the good treatment that they got from their captors, you know, and they have heavily censored that in the Israeli press. They don't want, they said that they fed them the same food that they ate. They made them, they took them places where they would be safe from the bombing, et cetera. So they told a lot of lies about them being raped and babies being beheaded. This is the, you know, the propaganda, war propaganda, psychological warfare, you see. So, you know, Allah tells you that when you are in battle, you can take into account the enemies that you're fighting. So those people are, they took hostages, we want to call them hostages, to exchange for their own people. And this has worked for them in the past before. The reality is Hamas is not a terrorist organization. They are freedom fighters. Have they conducted atrocities? I would have to say yes. But all armies, if you read the Quran, it says when an army enters into another territory, they despoil it. That's the Quran. So unless you are willing to call the American military terrorists for what they did in Fallujah, for what they did in Abu Ghraib, for what they did in My Lai, in Vietnam, and every other war, unless you're willing to call them terrorists, then you cannot get the Afghan war, the Iraq war, then you can't call Hamas terrorists, okay? Have they committed atrocities? I'm sure they have. I'm quite sure they have. But they don't call the IDF a terrorist group, and that's exactly what they are.
Yes,
that's exactly
yes, yes.
The video evidence that they produce, that they put out, showing them lining up men that they and that they know are not members of Hamas, naked, and doing all kinds of atrocities to them, raping. This is documented, you see. And what Imam Kareem is talking about, I just read an article that said that they gave guidelines to the reporters at the New York Times, which is supposed to be the best Western media outlet, saying don't use the word Palestine, don't use the word genocide, don't use the word ethnic cleansing. This is a violation of freedom of speech. They don't want the truth to get out.
Right.
So, Kareem is correct. They attacked the consulate, which was attached to the embassy, and that land, your embassy, whatever country you're in, is considered
right.
to be foreign soil. That's considered to be part of your sovereign territory, just as if they had attacked you in your land. So when they said this is unprecedented that the Iranians attacked them in Israel, that's exactly what you did to them. That's why
okay.
they call diplomatic pouch. In other words, if you're a diplomat and you fly, you can fly commercial or whatever. When you fly into America from Turkey, you have a diplomatic pouch. They can't go in that pouch. Do they bring drugs in there like that? Yes, they do. Do they bring weapons in there? Yes, they do. But the reason why they grant you that opportunity so they can do the same thing when they fly into your country, you understand,
right.
or classified material or whatever the case may be. So this is what we have to be aware of, you know, when they say, you know, Israel is going to respond. No, they were not going to respond. That was Iran responding to their provocation. And
right.
they have bombed Iran. They have killed Iranian scientists in Iran before. So this is, you know, this is a war. This is why we try to avoid wars at all costs. It's very ugly,
right.
you know. But the Quran tells you that, you know, to avoid war, but if you have to go to war, then you should prosecute it to the fullest extent. You know, of course, you don't target men, like the Imam Kareem said, you don't target the elderly, you don't target children and women. And what Iran was really showing them was that this is just a sample of what we can do. Don't think it's the, because they sent their slowest,
missiles, the loudest missiles, and told them they were coming to do it, so to give them time to prepare. But it was just a warning to prove to them and show them that we're not defenseless. Don't ever think we're defenseless. And if you take the next step, then the next time, they told them that, the next time is going to be worse. So, you know, we're glad to see them standing up for themselves, because these people are, they have no bounds. So we're running out of time. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Maybe we
have about
time
two more callers on the line, if they can be very succinct. Right.
Let's try to
please be very succinct if you can. Error code 910978. Please state the name and where you're calling from, please. 910978. I don't have time to wait. Okay. 914-434, Muhammad Sharif. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is good. It's time that we spoke out with, you can't change with your hands, change with your voice. And we're speaking
right
out. It's about time. Where you be talking.
Wa alaikum assalam. I believe that's it, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. Wonderful broadcast.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. So we thank all of you for listening and calling in. You listen to New Day Father Islam in America, America Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We pray that you have a blessed Juma tomorrow and continue to enjoy the blessings of Ramadan. And as Imam Kareem said, whenever I broke my fast, I always thought of my brothers and sisters, particularly in Palestine, who some of them had to have a sahur meal of water. That's all they had. And the iftar was, again, water. And that's what Ramadan is for, to put us in the mind of empathy for those who are far less fortunate than us, so that we can identify with them, pray for them, and work for their liberation as well as ours. So until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Yusuf. May we remain forever grateful and forever thankful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We've got...
Early in the morning, seeing a friend, smelling fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls can keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Yeah.
while the light's on low. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright. You gotta do the best that you can. Try to make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try to make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors. And I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.